Hey now, welcome in, y'all, and guess what time it is? That's right, it's porch time, and I am your one and your only Miss McKinney. I know you guys are extremely glad of that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. Won't be very long today. We're going to introduce our next dating / relationship 2020 relationships with an excuse me 2021. Please stay tuned and meet Miss Kim. Hey now. Welcome in. How are you? Excuse me. I was taking a drink right when you joined.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us on the porch, Miss Kim. So tell us a little bit about you before we get into it.
I am Kim Tyler, AKA Miss_possible_baby with three Y's. I'm a podcaster, I'm a producer, and I'm a mom, a wife. I hold a lot of different titles. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a lot going on. How old are your babies?
I have a 22-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Lord, have mercy. So what was going on? And you know what? We've never talked before, y'all, for those who are listening. So she can tell me that's none of your business and tell me shut up at any time. What were you thinking with that 3- and 2-year-old?
I started all over. I got remarried after about 15 to 18 years. I think I was separate, divorced, I mean. And he didn't have any kids. So God said, well,
here you go.
And so I guess he will.
And it's funny because I keep coming across people who, I don't know how old you are. I'm 44. But I've come across a lot of people that are like my age or a little bit older who are saying that, like, hey, you know, I met somebody, they didn't have any kids, or we started a new life. So we had a new baby together, and I'm feeling like y'all are speaking into my spirit, but I don't know.
Ooh, it might be true. I'm 45 now. So, I was like 40, 41 when we met and started, you know.
Interacting.
And then we got married not long. We got married the next year after we met.
But our time came along kind of fast.
I was pregnant within like, 6, 8 months? So.
It happens. Huh?
Yes.
All righty. So this is going to be our dating 2021. You mentioned that you've been married, divorced, and remarried again. Yes. Do you want to tell us what relationships, and then you're older now and you just started a brand new relationship, so this is definitely going to be interesting. What has dating and relationships been like for you? I'd say 20 and 21, because it sounds like that's when you kind of got off into something new, had a baby and all that other kind of stuff. So what was it like for you getting back into the swing?
When I, you know, before I got with my current husband, I took years off. Not only did I not date while I was divorced, I really wasn't thinking about like men in general during that time, because I had a daughter. So my issue was I didn't want to bring just anybody around her all the time, especially in and out of the house. So I didn't really date. I had a couple of friends along the way, but entering again, God sat me down, like 2 years of celibacy, 2 years of just self-care and learning myself over again. And he opened up the door for my current husband. And it has been different this time. Way different.
About that. When you say you had self-care and you took some time to yourself, tell us what that looks like. Because I know a lot of us feel like, I mean, just being honest, when you get out from underneath one, you get underneath another one. And that's how you, you know, shake off the relationship and move forward. And I like what you said. You said you were celibate for 2 years. I was abstinent for 12. So tell me. Yeah. Right. But I had a good relationship with the bullet. Sorry, listeners, but I did. So tell me what that self-care looked like.
I know that for so long, when I was married the first time and when I was raising my daughter after we separated, I was too young to know what love really was in the beginning. So as I grew older and I went through life experience and I started seeing how other men treated other women, I started treating out seeing how other women treated other men. And over those years, I said, I'm not getting into something again unless it's something that's headed towards a future. I know in 2021, people ain't with marriage these days. Like,
What is that all about? I can't, I don't, I've never been married. Excuse me, I've never been married, but I do want to be married. And it seems as though when I talk to women and men, everybody's like, you know what? And there's even a term for it. I forget what it's called, but it's basically where you live together as if you're husband and wife with no intentions of ever actually getting married. So what's that all about? Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from loose morals over the years. That's what I think
Yes.
it breaks down to. I think that our standards have slacked, especially over the last like 20 years. Even before that, it was starting to slack, but really the last like since the 2000s started, people just they appreciate like I have to watch what I say because I tend to say things a little effed up sometimes. But
I do
these
too.
women have become the men. Let me say it like that.
Say it again.
I think women and men have sort of switched sides.
Okay, explain that. And you might have went away. Did your So you were saying that you feel like men switch sides, and I asked you to explain that. What does that mean?
I feel like that when there was an attack on the family at a certain point during the 80s and 90s, that when they told women, oh, here, we'll help you with housing, but don't let that man come over or we're going to kick you out. We'll help you with food, but we'll only give you so much, but you can't have a man to help, so you're going to have to work, When they set all these this system up, right? It broke down a woman's need to have the family structure. So they started being they had they were put in a position women were put in a position that they had to be masculine. So I believe that because they had to do so much as far as taking care of their kids and figuring out how to feed themselves and their children and all these things because of different political science type of issues.
Right. I completely understand that. And I was just thinking about that probably about a month ago. Not, I wasn't necessarily a victim of the system, but I wasn't taught to depend on a man. Like my mother, even though she
Exactly.
was always married, she always wanted to teach me to be self-sufficient. And I really never learned how to depend on a man, which I know is extremely important. I wouldn't say depend, but have a need for him in my life, a strong need, a dependency, maybe. I don't know. I never really learned that part, but I understand. And
Right.
so,
See, I
with
was raised during a time where women were taught to be wives. They weren't taught to be independent and they weren't taught that they don't need a man. Me, my cousins, my mom, my aunties, my uncles, like they're all married, they all that was something that was normal for me growing up. So let's see, how can I say? I wasn't necessarily the marrying type. Like, I wanted to travel. My
What's
whole
your
thing was
sign?
that
What's
I
your
wanted to
sign?
travel. I
What
didn't
is your
want to be at home with kids like my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, and too, this was a part of me too. I believe that, sometimes a lot of women are so anxious to be married because it's hyped up. Oh, you've got it. Really, the marriage itself's not hyped up. Being a bride is hyped up. The wedding dress, the whole it's your day, and it's all about you and what you want. and you're going to be this happily ever after princess. Well, marriage is not nothing like that for real in real life. So people that get married directly out of high school or directly out of college, and they don't have any real life experience with anything other than their parents, and then they go directly into a relationship with a man, they don't have time to grow into a woman. You see what I'm saying? Like they go from being somebody's child to being somebody's wife. And back in the day, there wasn't a lot of difference in somebody's child and somebody's wife. They talked when they were spoke to, they did what they were told to do, and there wasn't much, there wasn't much difference between kids and wives in the 40s and 50s, from what I can tell.
Right. 62.
But I mean, I can't pinpoint a direct time, but I believe it was in the 90s. In the 90s, something happened. And women said, you know what? We don't need you. We don't need you. We got the rose now. We got the bullet. We got Mr. Long Dong Johnson. We don't need that. So what else can you bring to the table? That's where things started changing too. Economics. Economics changed the dynamics of the family because women, the more women were allowed to work in the workforce, the more women got more education, the more they started not putting up with a lot of things that women in the past put up with. To me, it kind of makes sense that it would change it. But what happens is that men got emasculated at some point in the process. Not just the women got too masculine, but the men got less masculine. Now, this has nothing to do with sexual orientation because I'm not no judge or jury to nobody's sex life. So that's not what this is about. What I'm saying is there are a lot of straight men out there that are not men. They're straight, but they're still little boys. They're still mama boys, titty babies. So if you got these moms who didn't really take care of these kids as kids, now they're making up for it in adulthood, right? So now they've taught this little boy his whole life that he's the man of the house, right? You're the man of the house. They taught him wrong to teach him he's the man of the house. He wasn't the man of the house. He was the child in a house. There was no man in the house. Like they're sugarcoating what it really is to make. Now you got your son in the role of the man of the house. There's no room for a man. So, I mean, it goes pretty deep, Miss McKinney, Hello?
Yes, ma'am, and I'm so sorry about that. So I know what's going on now. It's my Bluetooth. And if you let me turn.
Your Bluetooth device is ready to pair.
And I think we'll be ready to go. Are we ready? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Excellent, excellent. I'm so sorry. I've been talking to you and you couldn't hear me, but those were all excellent points. We were
Yeah, I was.
talking.
Look, I just stopped for a second. I was like, well, she hasn't said anything for a while. Let me. Can you hear me?
But yes, ma'am, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about men or women feeling like, not speaking when spoken to, first off. And I feel like going into dating, sometimes that's how men expect us to be, speak when spoken to, that type of attitude. But they're not living the life of the man in the 60s that was providing for the whole household and not and putting me in a position where I'm not able to speak. So I think that's where I get a little crossway. So you said this time around, you were like, I'm not messing with nobody that ain't got good intentions for me. So what does that look like?
At first it was looking a little gloomy. Like everybody
Thank
kept hitting the
you for
inbox
your
and they
honesty.
all said the exact same thing. Good morning, queen. Hey, beautiful. And then within like two sentences, oh, well, what do you do? Where do you work at? I mean, I just met you. Why do you care where I work at? I didn't ask you where you work at. I just literally said hey to you and you want to know my life. That's weird. I don't want that, you know. So going through all them years, it kind of taught me what I didn't like, you know, which I think is important. Like, I'm not necessarily saying that people don't have soulmates, because I'm not God. I don't know. But I do know that everything happens for a reason. So yes, I've been married and divorced before my husband, but my husband went into this. He told me from the beginning, because I was telling him, like, you ain't ready. You don't want this. This is not what you want. Trust me. You know, I was keeping it real with him. I'm like, look, my standards are a little higher than what you're used to. I can promise you. I've been around, you know, I said, okay, but I'm telling you, I'm going to correct you when things, I mean, I'm not going to correct you like your mama, but I'm going to be your woman and let you know where you're slipping. And I'm going to try to correct it if I can. And if not, we're going to have to go our separate ways, because I know what I want. I know what I like. I know how I like to be treated. I know how I don't like to be treated. I don't like to share, you know. I know for a fact that I don't want to have to argue with nobody in nobody's inbox. I'm not trying to argue with no girls about my man.
Yes.
I'm not trying to have no woman tell me nothing about my man that I don't already know.
Speak.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need you to be so upfront and honest with me. Even if you feel like I won't understand, trust me, I've been around the world. I can understand life, but so I can't understand deception and betrayal.
Okay, now. Those things that you're saying, you were like, I was upfront about what I wanted. Was he the first one that you were able to say this to? Because I know I've been upfront with maybe some situationships or conversations like, this is what I'm looking for. And it scares them off. Again, they feel as though we're, you know, too aggressive, or what the response I get is, let's right. just go with the flow.
So they feel like you're rushing it if you let right. them know upfront.
So no, when you met him,
I'm not telling you that this is what I want and we're getting married tomorrow. I'm telling you that if these are things that you know in yourself that you can't uphold for me, these are things that you need to work on before we start getting serious about this.
Excellent.
You know, in the beginning, I was really big on the social media thing, because I'm a woman. And before him, and when I was single, my inbox went off constantly, like from various different regions of the world, different types of people, men, women, like my inbox was going crazy, and I would ignore everybody. And anybody that knows me knows this is true. Like, I would just ignore people. But there would be certain people here and there that were, you know, people that I could vibe with. I was like, okay, they cool. I talk to them a little bit here, there. Now in the process, mind you, I had just got out of a situation where my daughter was in the court system as a juvenile for, she kept skipping school. So not only had I just went through a very depressing time in my life and a very financially draining time in my life, I had 3 jobs, an empty nest, and I had been celibate for like 2 years when I met him. So I wasn't exactly anxious to jump into a relationship. You see what I'm saying? But he said that when he met me, he automatically was like, oh, that's going to be my woman. She's going to have my kids.
Aww.
So, right. And my husband was very persistent, because no matter how many mistakes he made, he was willing to work on them. And he was willing to try to correct them as best he could at the time. It was a process. You know, going from single to married is not easy. People think it's like, oh, we just going to be best friends living together. No, that's not what marriage is, for real. Like, it's a job. You have to wake up every morning with the best intentions for your partner. You know, like, you can't wake up with the best intentions for only you in a marriage, because there is no only you in a marriage. That's male or female. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times recently, I can't even vibe with women, because women are just like, I ain't worried about him. Or they got five or six boyfriends, or they just, we don't have nothing in common for us to be friends. Like, I'm not going to dog my husband just because you're single.
Right. Let's touch on that a little bit. So I'm kind of like you. I don't know. I think I've been told I've had an old soul. I've been told that I was kind of prudish, maybe. I think I recall the, what did he call me? I don't remember, because I was dressed appropriately. So do you think, because there are so many women out there who don't have those morals or standards like you're talking about, they don't mind bringing Richie in the front and sneaking Larry out the back, that's why the men are the way that they are?
Yes.
And so what can we do about, I mean, I don't know what else, what to say about that or how to correct that when you come across a gentleman who is accustomed to women like that. And then they meet one like yourself or like me who doesn't believe in all that. It seems as though they feel like you're pulling a trick on them. Like, this right. can't be real.
That's a good point, because they feel like this can't be real.
Right, right. So...
there's no way that this woman is this perfect. This is what we were taught a woman's supposed to be, but we haven't experienced this. So who sent you? You know, like, did somebody send you to tear my kingdom down? What's going on? You know, and
I also think that single mothers kingdom, have that.
Like, it's our kingdom. And why would I tear down our kingdom when I'm going to help hold up what you've already built and add to what you've built? So that's the key for women too. Women need to be ready for that man that they think don't exist.
And how would you suggest you get ready? With the self-care, we said.
Self-care. Make sure that you're in a good mental space yourself. Make sure that you deal with all of those skeletons that's left in the back of the mind that we don't talk about with anybody, that nag at us, whether it was we were a side chick in a past life, whether it was we were molested as children, whether it was we lost a child that, you know, we couldn't help, whether it was, you know, whatever mental and emotional, spiritual baggage that we carry, we need to make sure that we are working on that and dealing with that before we go trying to take that on another human. Now, the same can be said for men, because men are the worst when it comes with emotions. They're either extremely one way or extremely another way. You rarely meet somebody that is balanced between the two. You know, without giving any fame or glory to my former spouse, he used to be drunk. You hear me? Drunk. It wasn't always pleasant. You see what I'm saying? So as a wife, I was trained to take it. Like, growing up, I was, you know, I came from a Southern Christian family, white Southern Christian family, might I add, which was a major part of why I was so twisted as a teenager and a young adult. I was completely confused, because here I was with a good heart and I'm like, okay. But anyways, that's another episode, another day. But as a teenager, my mom she didn't talk about feelings. Like, she went to work, she cooked, she cleaned. She made sure we had everything we needed. I never seen her drunk. I never seen her high. I never seen a man in and out of our house. We went to church every time the doors was open, all that.
So you were raised by a single mom.
She never taught me how to express love or feelings, because she wasn't the type to just sit me down and be like, you know what? I love you to death, Kim. I freaking love you. You know, like, she didn't do stuff like that. So I was very emotionless in the beginning. Like, It took I'm about to tell you something really deep, and I really just realized this talking about it. It took my son passing away in 09 for me to ever feel on a level where my heart didn't feel like my own. You see what I'm saying? And I wasn't always the nicest person when I was young. So the men, you know, the men that I dealt with, they kind of had to be a little rough. Not like abusive rough, but they had to be able to put me in my place without hitting me. Because my mouth was, I'd go at them. I said all that to say that. Like, my mouth was bad when I was a teenager. And so I had to, after my son died, it took me about 3 years to sober up. Now, that's as real as I can be. And then for a couple of years after that, I went back and forth with it before I actually quit. Now, during the process of when I quit is when I started my 2 year celibacy and my self-care process. When I tell you that God showed me so much of me that I didn't know existed for almost 40 years, like, I didn't know how to really care if I hurt somebody's feelings. I'd never thought about it. I just said what I wanted to say and kept it moving. If they liked it, they did. If they didn't, we fought about it. I mean, that's who I was. You know what I'm saying? So, Miss McKinney, in order to be ready, you just have to be with, you have to be, I'm not a religious person, but I believe in a creator. And I believe that if you get in one with the creator, you'll be able to see love a different way. You know, then you're not as, it's not like you lower your standards. You just learn not to be as picky. Like, okay, you know how we always see those couples and we're like, why did she pick him? Or how did he get her? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But there's something about each of those people that God gave them that other person needed. And nobody else has that but that person. So even if that person's ugly, even if that person's fat, even if that person's short, even if that person's got anything, they'll still love that person more than anybody else, because that one thing that that person possesses was meant for them to help balance them. Because that's really what love's about, is balance. The perfect partner, there is no perfect partner. You know, I don't believe. I have to always say in my opinion, because sometimes people take my, because I'm so passionate when I talk, they really take my words as if they're like 100% history facts. Sometimes I'm just talking crap, you know? So, like, in my opinion, I feel like that there is no perfect partner. So when you're starting to date, just be a little more open to, okay, you know I have a thing about a pretty smile. And thank God my husband has a beautiful smile. But, you know, there was a point in time when God was dealing with me that God was like, okay, Kim, what if I send you somebody who has a tooth out because he was in a car wreck? Or, you know, like, not because he's, you know, strung out and his teeth fell out, but because he was like in a car wreck, or it got knocked out in a football game, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if it's something like that? And I had to stop being a little vain, so to speak, or shallow. And I had to start looking deeper and seeing more characteristics that I'd be drawn to than their physical appearance. So I started looking for characteristics like passion for what they do? Do they love what they do, or do they just go to work to get a check? Like, that was important to me, because I don't like people who just work to work. I want people to enjoy life. So if you're good at something, work at that and it will pay you, you know? But that's me and my business, my small business mind. But
so I have a question real quick. I noticed that because I'm a stalker too. I noticed that you like to date, or you're currently married outside of your race. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So have you always dated outside of your race?
Yes, ma'am. I have. I have never dated a white man one time. Not once.
That's not your preference, huh?
It's deeper than just because they're white. You know, it the strength of a black man, the way that the world has treated the black race, first of all, not just men, because I'm not just after that. You know, they always say white girls chase after the big D, and that's why we date black guys, you know, or whatever. But I was young. Back when I first, like, New Edition was my first crush. LL Cool J and New Edition was the first people I ever wanted to marry. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something funny. I only had one crush on a white guy ever, and it was George Michael, of all people. And when I found out he was gay, I was like, well, there that goes. Makes sense. You know? So, but I think that, you know, black men just possess a certain strength that turns me on. And
so what would you say to the Caucasian young lady, or the other race outside of black, who's interested in dating outside of her race, but she's scared to? Like, maybe she's my age and she's never, because I've never dated outside of my race. So what would you suggest to that mental block of stepping out? You know, you're saying to not lower your standards, but really learn what your standards are versus a vain preference, right? And right. So what would you say to that lady that needs to step out of her headspace and you know, maybe look at a gentleman outside of a race?
Educate yourself. If you want to date outside your race, you need to educate yourself before you go be ignorant and hurt somebody. You know, because I know a lot of white girls that should not have mixed kids. And I put that on my dead son's grave. Like, I've met white women that I wanted to, like, take their kids and raise them for them, because they just didn't know how, you know?
You mean, like, with the hair or?
With, I mean, even how you talk to mixed children affects their outlook on life, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you got to realize, like, okay, my mom was, there wasn't a racist bone in my mom's body. But when it came to me dating, my mom sat me down, because she knew I wasn't going to date a white man. So she sat me down and she said, okay, Kim, you're getting older. You know, I think I was like 14 or 15, which boys already liked me by then, but she didn't know that. So,
oh, she knew. She
knew. She just wasn't ready to talk about it until then herself. So she sat me down about 14, 15, and she said, you know, you do know that people will try to treat your husband and your children different. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, they can try, but as long as I treat them the same, they're not going to notice. You know, mm-hmm. That was my reply. And it took my black godmother to sit me down. My godmother's black. My mom's best friend, you know, she loved me before I was born. You know, and she's been in my life my whole life. And she sat me down herself, because she forbid her kids from dating white girls and white boys, you know? So, but she loved us. So I couldn't understand. I was like, you know, you keep telling your son, you know, if she can't use my comb, she don't need to come home, you know? And she was very serious about it. But she loved me. So she, you know, she sat me down. She's like, Kim, you're different. You're not like most of those white people. You do understand that, don't you? And I didn't at the time, because my mom was white. My grandma was white. My cousins, you know. And she was like, but your heart's not like them. And one day you'll understand. But she explained it like, she was like, you're going to, black people only really good Black people are going to recognize the good in you. And only really good white people are going to recognize the good in you. The majority of the other groups of both races are going to hate you, Kim, because you're everything they're scared to be.
Interesting. Now, very interesting.
That was deep to me at the time because, you know, I was like, it really started making me look at everybody. So I came up with this notion, and to this day, I share it with everybody when I speak about race and love. You know, individual accountability goes far. If I can't, if a Black girl had jumped me in ninth grade, her and all her cousins had jumped me in ninth grade, I cannot look at you as a Black woman and assume that you and your family are going to jump me.
Right.
Okay. If I were raped by a Black man, which I have been, and put in ICU, damn near killed for 3 days, I was in a coma ICU.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, ma'am. I don't hold every Black man responsible that particular person did that. So see, this is where when you get ready to date outside of your race, you have to realize that everything you do and say is going to be sensitive. Yes. That's the main point I wanted to say. Yes. It's going to be sensitive because this is where I'm at. Okay. Not only do I have to defend myself against the racist white people, I have to defend myself against the prejudiced Black people.
Yes.
Now, with that being said, they're both groups go at me. For the white people, I'm a sellout and a traitor. For the Black people, I'm a wannabe and a culture vulture. So where does that leave me?
A what? A culture vulture?
Culture vulture.
Yes. I've never heard that.
Yes. Culture vulture. I've been called a culture vulture. I've been called a wannabe. I've been called the N lover. I've been called trailer trash, white devils, cavemen, dogs. These are by Black people. Uh-huh. So now we don't want to get started on the white side because I've been everything but a child of God from the white side. So I've so taken a lot to be who I am, Miss McKinney.
Say it again.
I've taken a lot to be who I am.
Yeah.
You know, so I treat each individual I meet accordingly. I pick up on vibes and energy really well. I also am aware of my surroundings most of the time. So I'm pretty, I ain't going to say I'm paranoid, but I'm on point when it comes to watching my own back.
Yeah.
I've had to be. And because I chose to love who I chose to love, I have been drugged through the mud and back. In the legal system, I've been drugged through the mud and back because of standing up for what's right in my family, in my husband's family, in different schools, at different jobs. And honestly, I mean, Black people love me more than white people do. And that's just the base of, you know, while there are a few prejudiced Black people, I'm mainly more accepted by Black people than I am white people. So
in a nutshell, dating outside your race is not for the weak, right?
It is not for the very weak of heart at all, which I know, listen, I apologize because I should have told you this before I came on the air. I'm a little ADHD, so sometimes I talk from like A to Z, but I'm going to always get back to B.
Right.
But my brain just kind of works in chain reactions. So in order to get to B, I kind of have to go A to L to Q to Z and back.
I follow.
Good. There's a method to my madness.
Yes, it is. And I thank you so much for joining us. You've dropped some real gems on us tonight, y'all. I hope that you guys listening have heard the sincerity and the transparency in Miss Kim's voice. Like, she is really giving us some really good things to take home on the porch. So tell us where we can find you. I know you're a podcast. Is that a podcast with you and your husband? And then Yes. Tell us where we can find you guys.
Yes. Meet the Tylers podcast. That is, we have a YouTube channel and we have an Anchor, but neither one has content yet because I'm doing a lot of, I'm getting my audio and my background together. So you can catch us on Instagram Live. We have episodes on Instagram Live and I have Facebook episodes. I am at Miss Possible Baby. My husband is at Smoke Troublesome on Instagram. We are putting up a Meet the Tylers Instagram, but like I said, it's one day at a time. I got this event coming up next week, so I've been working on that a lot.
Technical stuff of the podcast. I've just been enjoying doing, just doing the Instagram stuff.
Yeah, and I've been enjoying watching you guys. So you guys, we're going to continue to share their content on our Instagram. She told you where you can find her. We'll look forward to you getting some content up on there really soon. And will you be joining us back on the porch? I know you talked about having a baby. So we do have our mom and dads, and your husband is more than welcome to join or do an episode of his own. And then what else we got going on? All the IM, where you can tell us how you guys got started with Meet the Tylers, which sounds like it's going to be a good story.
Right. Yeah, he's actually sitting over here by me. I'm sure he'd love to join us.
Awesome. So I will hook up with you guys in Messenger and get that all scheduled. I thank you for joining us on the porch. Any last words to the listeners from Miss Kim?
Yes. Always go with love and not hate. Mm. Always go with love and not hate. And when you're looking for a partner in 2021, love yourself first, and I promise you'll find them.
Words of absolute greatness. I'm gonna have to quote you on that one.
Yes, thank you. I love being here on the porch. I like porch time with Miss McKinney.
Yes, and you guys come hang out with us again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, good night.
Good night.
So we had a whole bunch of technical difficulties in this episode, and I apologize to you guys for that, but so many good things were said. I really didn't know how I could crop it out and make it sound right, so I appreciate you guys for sticking with me. Thank you, Ms. Kim, for joining us on the porch. I know it won't be the last. Thank you guys again for listening and for sticking with us. If you're interested in doing a dating/relationships 2021 episode with us on the porch, please reach out, missporch2020@gmail.com, to get your episode scheduled today. Thank you guys again for listening, for supporting, for encouraging. Be you, which is absolutely beautiful. Don't let anybody else tell you any different. And if they do, get them out of your circle. Be strong and be blessed. Take care.